Now it is guest time, and I'm very pleased to be joined on the line by Heather Simmons, who is a theological student who's going to talk to us about what it takes to be a local preacher and what is going to happen with the ministerial role when she finishes. Now, Heather is also an excellent musician. She is a singer and she's also a composer and she plays double bass. So very good morning.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you, Michelle.
Now, last time you were in the studio, in fact, with us was probably about, was it about 3 years or 2 years ago?
I think so. Yeah, I think it could even be 3 years. And I just think, I was looking back at some photographs of that time and just thinking how lovely it was to all be together and playing music and, yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully that will happen again soon.
You're studying at the Queen's Theological College. Just explain a little bit about the training that you do there and what you're heading towards.
Well, it's part of the journey of becoming a minister with the Methodist Church. One of the things that they think is important is that you study theology as a degree. So I'm on a part-time course because of being also a musician and having a daughter at home. So I'm studying there for 3 years, and normally I would be going, doing most of my work online, but going up for residential weekends at the college and studying. But unfortunately, because of lockdown, I haven't actually met any of my fellow students yet, apart from on Zoom. It's all been online so far, which has actually been quite amazing, really.
Yeah.
So we study theology with other Methodist students, other Anglican students, and Pentecostal students as well. So we get a real mix, a very ecumenical course about learning about how to be a minister and the Bible.
So for you, I always find this really fascinating because it happens to some people and for many people it doesn't happen at all. When did you get that calling? Was that something that's always been with you, or did you suddenly just get this calling, or something happened that made you want to go down this path?
Well, for some people I know, they have a kind of Kairos moment, and it wasn't like that for me. I was brought up in the Church of England Church with my grandma, christened and confirmed, and then when I went off to university, I had time really away from organised religion, and I didn't go to any particular church. In fact, I tried all kinds of things, Buddhism, and just went in any church I found and listened to all different things, and I couldn't find anything where I really felt at home. So I stayed away from it for quite some time, and then Dave, my husband, and I, we were going to see a friend of ours sing at the Fisherman's Chapel, and both went into this little Methodist chapel, and I just felt this immense sense of peace and comfort, and the people that welcomed us, despite me saying my husband's an atheist and I haven't been to church for many years, welcomed us with open arms and just said, because we were looking somewhere to get married, and said, of course you can get married here. It'd be lovely to have you. And that's kind of where the journey started, I should say.
Yeah. So and that's down at Lee, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's down at Lee. It's where John Wesley, who started the Methodist Church, first came to the Lee Fishermen.
Mm.
And our little chapel has got that history, which is wonderful. That's kind of where it started, and then it just grew from there, really, Michelle. I got involved with the church because of getting married there, and one of the things that kind of came to me is that something that I never stopped doing, even when I wasn't going to church, I never stopped praying.
Yeah.
And I always kind of, and I used to read the newspapers in the morning and think, what can I do to help these poor people? I felt so useless on my own, not being able to help people. And it really upset me, actually. And I kept saying, you know, what am I meant to be doing here? And then as I got more in with the Methodist Church and read if you go on their main website and you look at the public issues that they do with social justice, poverty, environment, all these things, I just suddenly felt part of a much bigger picture that I thought, actually, we can actually do something to change things here, but I couldn't do it on my own. And I felt when I was with this kind of bigger family, I was able to actually do something. So that's kind of where it grew from, really.
Yeah, and also you're not just talking about lockdown, this is way before lockdown.
Way before lockdown. Mm. So I've been doing this now for about 7 years.
And I think a lot of people actually during the lockdown have kind of put their There's been loads of volunteering going on in Brentwood. I mean, all around the local areas, all the local people have been really sort of giving over a lot more time to charity and thinking about people that are not doing very well mentally or not doing very well because they haven't got enough food, which is a terrible thing to think the UK is in that situation in 2021. There seems to be a lot of heart out there. When you're ordained, normally would you get a few churches? I didn't realise this. I was talking to our very own Patrick Shering, who's head of a church, and he said normally you would end up with a few churches, and I had no idea.
Yeah, so the, I mean, even the Anglican churches are going that way now as well, but Methodist churches have always been run by lay preachers, so people who are not ordained, and ordained ministers. And the Methodist way has been to have what they call itinerant ministers, which means that you only stay in a position for kind of a maximum of 5 years, and then they move you anywhere in the country to go off and to be the minister. And you normally have well, at least three churches in some rural areas, more than that. That you oversee alongside working with your worship leaders and your local preachers.
Now, you're going to be doing something a little bit different, be a chaplain for professional musicians.
This was a little bit against the grain, as with everything I do, Michelle, a little bit against the grain of what the usual Methodist church, what they have in mind for their ministers. So normally you have, you go into itinerant ministry and you work 6 days a week, and you can be sent anywhere, or you are a deacon, and the same thing, itinerant deacons who work in the community. I felt very strong calling that my music is a calling as well, because I have given my life to music, and this calling, I felt that God wasn't asking me to stop that. That's what I felt in my heart. And so, as well, because of having Georgia still at home, I, what they call candidate for, you candidate for ministry, so you go into interview for ministry. And I said that I felt that I wanted to give my life to God, but also I wanted to continue my music. So they agreed that I could be a minister for 4 days a week. I mean, you're a minister for 7 days a week, actually, once you're ordained. You know, it's, but you know what I mean? Your actual official role is in that 4 days. And that I've really felt called to look after professional musicians as a community, as a chaplain, which meant that obviously I couldn't be looking after three churches as well. I just wouldn't physically have the time. So the Fisherman's Chapel was chosen because we've really set the Fisherman's Chapel up as a particular place of culture for artists and musicians to feel at home. Much like prison chaplains or school chaplains or university chaplains, for me, the community of professional musicians, and you would know this being a singer, is that it's a very different way of life. And specific family issues, particularly with touring, money never being stable and regular. And there's lots of, and also people who devote their lives to music, there's a certain characteristic that enables you to be able to practice all those hours every day and put your heart and soul into something that I think just shows that they tend to be a bit more vulnerable, you know, a little bit more vulnerable, quite spiritual people, but not necessarily within organized religion. But I think they're a community that needs somebody to be there with them, to be a comfort, to be somebody that they can turn to. If one of that, I mean, one of my dear friends has just died of COVID, who is an amazing musician. It's, you know, I think we need to come together and feel that sense of community. And it's a community without walls, is how I feel about musicians.
I mean, it's been a very tough time for everybody in lockdown. And, you know, all the musicians that I speak to, it's basically nobody's worked for nearly a year. And most people in that industry, as you know, like the pubs and the clubs and the places that we would normally be gigging, it's very difficult for me because you're freelance and you're self-employed. And you could look at your diary and think, oh, I've got all these gigs booked. And then suddenly everything was wiped out. And I know that's affected not just musicians, it's people right the way across the board. But it's a dreadful, dreadful situation we're in at the moment.
It is. And, you know, much like people give, you know, doctors and people, you know, architects, people who have very lengthy training, very, very lengthy training for musicians. So not one that they can just swap easily. Like when there's a suggestion of people just retraining. I mean, I just thought this, for musicians, it's not a job. it's a whole way of life. And also part of who people are, at their very core, is music comes out of their being when they're professional musicians.
Yeah.
And that can really affect their mental health as well as physically being able to support themselves and their families.
Yeah.
I really hope that people will support live music when we get out of this again and really understand its value, you know, and not just kind of put on backing tracks and things, but employ live musicians.
Yeah.
I think, it, you know, if the public supported it, then the venues would pay.
Yes.
Which is really, yeah.
Yeah, I'm hoping that, I think the first thing is to get back out there as soon as they say everything's
absolutely
open. I think everyone's going to run.
Wait.
It's been lovely to talk to you. And if people want to find out more about the Fisherman's Chapel, is there a website for people to look at?
Yes, thefishermanschapel.org. And also I would recommend people to look at the Methodist website as well, because that's also one to look at. If you're wondering how can you help people in this time,
yeah,
there is every variety of way of helping people that you can imagine to get involved with. Yeah, which makes us all feel better, doesn't it, if we're doing something for other people?
There is a massive sense of community at the moment with people volunteering and all sorts of things. There's so many
really
groups
is
that have come together, which is a positive that hopefully we'll take after COVID, carry on with all those things. And I was saying earlier about mental health and making sure that people, if you're out there and you're lonely, that you talk to somebody. And if you can't talk to your friends or your family, you know, have a look online and make sure that you do talk to somebody and get those worries and those concerns, you know, out to someone.
Absolutely. I just so agree with you, Michelle. And there's so many different ways of doing that now because of lockdown.
Mm.
People are really opening up all different kind of charities and groups. And also also churches of all different kinds are running Zoom services where they have kind of Zoom coffee mornings. And people always make a note of welcoming anybody new,
yeah,
and making them feel included wherever, whatever your beliefs on or you don't, you would be made very welcome at church, at the churches as well. You don't have to be a Christian to come along to those. Everybody is welcome.
Lovely to talk to you. Give my regards to Dave, your lovely husband,
yes,
as well. And also Trevor Newham said earlier, hello. I forget,
oh,
you know everybody, so he said hello.
Love, Trevor.
Because I messed up something earlier. So there you go, Trevor. I've said the hello on air, so you know that I've done it.
I will give him my love.
I will. And it's not great to talk to you, and hopefully we'll get you in the studio as soon as lockdown is finished, hopefully later on this year into the summer. You can come back in and do some fantastic live music.
Thank you so much, Michelle. And just a message to everybody who might be listening. God bless to all of you, everybody here, for you and your families, that we all get through this together. And thank you for having me on, Michelle.
Great chat with you, and I'll see you soon, my love, as soon as lockdown lets us. Take care.
Thank you, love.
Bye. Oh, that was the wonderful Heather Simmons there, and this is a beautiful track. This is called Take Me Away.